to turn around. All our hopes have come to be when people gather around. And they all brought what they can bring. Now, this is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio, and it's Sunday night, and we play music on Air America on Sunday night, and this week our guest is Charlie Musselwhite. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. It's good to see you.
Yeah, we bumped into each other, almost bumped into each other.
Stumbled into each other.
Got some, some friends in common.
Yeah, I do.
It's a small world when you do this, but I've lived in Tennessee for, 30 years before coming here. And you're on the West Coast these days. You started out in Mississippi and Memphis and Chicago.
Chicago and then California.
It makes perfect sense to me. That's kind of...
Just looking for a gig.
That's it. There's always one out there. And you're... this doesn't surprise me, but you brought some music for us, and we'll listen to some of yours later, but... it doesn't surprise me one bit that you're starting us off with The Wolf tonight.
First time I saw Wolf was in Chicago, and I'd heard his records growing up in Memphis, and he really knocked me out on record. Sometimes when you go to see somebody you've heard on record, it's not quite the same, but man, Wolf just killed me. It was so much more in person than it was on the record.
Something that couldn't quite be captured on record when you got right down to it.
But this one kind of... captures it.
This is Howlin' Wolf on Air America Radio. Radio. Our guest this week is Charlie Musselwhite. That's that. You know what year that was recorded?
50, 51, yeah. Right around there in West Memphis. Or in Memphis. He was playing in West Memphis.
Yeah, cool. That is a sound, no doubt about it. Probably one of my favorite guitar players, and I think the way that he played rhythm guitar Yeah, great. I mean, he played great lines too, but just, I think the way he played rhythm guitar probably influenced more. I think a lot of guitar players that think that they're influenced by Chuck Berry and Keith Richards are influenced by Howlin' Wolf more than they think that they are.
Oh yeah,
you know, the whole backbeat thing, pulling up on the strings instead of coming down on them all the time.
I think Wolf was a direct descendant from Charlie Patton. He had the same. Say if Charlie Patton had gone on to have a band, that's what it would have sounded
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes absolute perfect sense. Snooky Pryor, and when was this recorded?
Probably about 53, I think.
And this is Boogie Twist. Harmonica as an electric instrument 101. That's a great sound. Yeah, you know, we were talking on the break that probably the closest I ever heard anybody get to exactly that sound was probably, you know, Al Wilson with Canned Heat, you know, in the late 60s and early 70s. He was great. I saw that band, you know, they were the first band that I ever, you know, I mean, I literally went and I think I, you know, my dad, you know, told me I couldn't go, so I think I went and, you know.
You had to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I went and literally panhandled and came with that. I think the cheapest tickets were $2, you know, concert tickets, $2, and the front row was $6. And I think I literally panhandled and got a $2 ticket, and I think somebody gave me, before it was over with, I think I had about $1, you know, panhandled up, and then somebody gave me a $2 ticket and a hit of acid, and I was on. And
came out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. I pocketed the money and got to go, you know, went and got a taco after the show. I you know, just this is going to be fun, but you know, some of these, I actually was in a blues band when I first started out because I moved to the south side of San Antonio, and there was all the people that I knew were playing. Everybody was, I was the only guy with long hair, you know, in my whole class, I thought. And then I found these two or three guys, and that was the redneck part of San Antonio. Everybody was playing country music. Everybody was listening to country music. And everybody, the few guys I found that weren't were so polarized that, you know, it was 1968. And, you know, that was, which was a pretty great year because, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, Here Comes Sugar Yo just came out that year. Electric Mud came out that year. God, I guess the first Electric Flag album came out that year. It was just there was this huge interest in blues, and we were able to get these records and the first Kent Heat record.
Well, I still like country music.
Yeah, well, that's one. It's absolutely one of those things. But these guys, you know, had a tendency to beat on me just because my hair was long.
It was a heck of a time.
It was, yeah. No doubt about this. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Charlie Musselwhite. And, you know, I was thinking about the way I got exposed to the blues was probably just polarization. We moved from the north side to the south side of San Antonio, and the only guys I could find that weren't playing country music, I guess that just become, you know, so backed into a corner that they started looking for a little weirder stuff than everybody else was. But it also was, blues was beginning to be played on what was just starting out as FM rock radio around that time. Yeah. I mean, Electric Mud came out, and Here Comes Sugar Yo Otis. I never recovered, because that record, you know, I was 13 years old and he was 13 years old. You know, this is Johnny Otis's kid. Do you ever hear that record? It's very,
I'm sure. I know Sugar and Johnny. They're not far from me.
Really?
Yeah.
Really good. Because, you know, there's a great, you know, long lost, you know, Sugar Otis record that was finally re-released in the last few years. That
Cold Shot.
Yeah. Which is that's just much further out there. But this was a straight ahead blues record. I mean, he did. They call it Sugar's Boogie on the record, but it's basically his version of The Stumble. And, you know, it's straight ahead. It's basically just four-piece stuff, you know. And he was a pretty phenomenal guitar player. And it just, for us, this was somebody our age that was doing this stuff and made us feel like it was possible for us to, you know, to actually go out and play this music. Yeah, it's one of those things. Around the same year in Texas, where I was from, another record that came out that year was Johnny Winter's first record, which goes in and out of print, and I recommend it to people all the time. But it was called The Progressive Blues Experiment. It was on Imperial Records. And it's the one where you see him on the front. He's got this kind of Beatles haircut, but he's kind of blurry because he's looking at his own reflection in the back of a National, you know, steel standard guitar. But it's one side of it's electric with the original trio, which was him and John Turner and Tommy Shannon, you know, same guys that, you know, Tommy Shannon ended up playing with Stevie Ray Vaughan for all of his career.
Yeah, I remember Uncle John, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They were a great trio. And then the other side was all acoustic stuff. And it was mostly like pretty much standards that he just decided to wrestle to the ground. And he was a great mandolin player. He had the Yank Rachel thing down, too. I don't know how long it's been since John played mandolin, but that first record, there's stuff where he just tracks stuff with, you know, like acoustic, you know, guitar, you know, national guitar, harmonica, and he's a good harp player. And mandolin, you know.
I first met him in Chicago, and he was wearing a suit or a sport coat, had a pompadour, had a towel.
Right.
Nothing like how you've seen.
No, I've seen those pictures.
And he was playing harmonica and just a happy guy sitting there. Yeah, I think Yank Rachel was there that night, too.
Wow.
Little coffee house. You know, where they had folk blues.
Right.
The first place blues crossed over, you know, was in the coffee houses.
Yeah, well, that record was for me the first place, that version of Rollin' and Tumblin' that I heard. Because a lot of stuff that I heard, you know, I backtracked from, you know, just a matter of my age, I backtracked from, like, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival versions of you know, Elvis Presley songs. I mean, I heard Elvis Presley beginning with, like, you know, the stuff in the very late part of the 50s and the early 60s, the Sun stuff I got to from, you know, from, you know, later covers of that stuff. But there's a great version of Rollin' and Tumblin'. This version, which this kind of blew my mind when I was looking at it. This is Babyface Leroy, Little Walter, Muddy Waters.
Yeah, it's just the three of them. Yeah. It's the wildest, toughest version of Rollin' and Tumblin' ever done.
This is Rollin' and Tumblin'. Babyface Leroy, Little Walter, Muddy Waters, Rolling and Tumbling on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now. Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Charlie Musselwhite. And when you said you were going to play a Charlie Feathers record in here, the reason I have a record deal is because I got frustrated trying to be a singer-songwriter in Nashville, and people started getting interested in rockabilly, and, you know, starting to throw that word around. And I thought, I play guitar that bad, and I put together a three-piece band, and it actually ended up with me, you know, I kind of got into some early Sun records, and you know pre-Elvis Sun stuff, and there's a really interesting period right after Sam Phillips sold, you know, Elvis's contract, and he started trying to sign people to sort of replace Elvis, to try to repeat what he had done with Elvis, There were a whole bunch of really interesting records being made in that little studio there. Oh,
yeah. Johnny Dorsey Burnett lived right across the street
from
me.
Oh, man. Which might have been the Cadillac of the whole bunch, you know, the rock and roll trio, I think.
Those were
my very favorite records, because they were just so good.
I remember going over to their house when I was a kid, and I'd never seen anybody with bloodshot eyes before.
Right.
And I went back to my mom and I said, Johnny and Dorsey's eyes are real red. Well, how come their eyes are so red? My mom says, well, I guess they've been doing a little drinking.
Well, Charlie Feathers was somewhat of a legend, but, you know, I mean, when you started really digging deep into those records, like Charlie Feathers, the first record I ran across was, a friend of mine in L.A., that collected 78s, it was a single that was One Hand Loose and Bottled to the Baby on the other side, and both sides had been sort of regional hits, and you know, because of course I didn't, you know, he never went on to a major label, and if you didn't get into this stuff, you know, you didn't hear about Charlie Feathers outside of that kind of Arklatex area, as they used to call it, that all these bands played, because all these bands played the Louisiana Hayride, and they played clubs, and most of them actually were in West Memphis rather than in Memphis, where artists like this played.
Yeah, the laws were a little looser over there.
it was on that side of it. But this is a Charlie Feathers track that I had never heard until you brought in tonight. This is Everybody's Loving My Baby.
Yeah,
Charlie Feathers on Air America Radio.
Well, I kiss my baby and it don't seem right. Too many people been a holding her tight. Thank you.
that's where Gene Vincent got his whole deal from.
Oh yeah, sure
is. It's like, here's amazing. You know, one hand loose. I remember trying to learn to play that song and figuring out what he's doing, because he was sort of the way he played guitar was. Most of the stuff I heard, he was actually playing acoustic guitar on the track, you know, he himself, and he just didn't, you know, usually with a Darman pickup on it. And some of the records, they actually stuck a microphone in front of the guitar and he ran it to an amp and they just took them both. And with the slap on it, it sort of sounded like there were two people playing two different things by the time it ended up on the record. It was quite a racket. not any doubt about it. This Jimmy Rogers track, Walking By Myself, that you brought in.
Oh, it's got some of the greatest harmonica playing in it. It's just like the perfect backup, and the solo is just an unbelievable driving harmonica solo. And it's by Walter Horton. Everybody call him Shaky Walter, is playing the harmonica. Jimmy Rogers is singing. It's actually Muddy Waters' band.
Right.
And but in the studio, Jimmy got to sing a couple, and this is what came out.
This is Jimmy.
And, Shaky was a good friend of mine, and, well, so was Jimmy Rogers, but Shaky was a great harp player, overlooked harmonica player.
This is Jimmy Rogers on Air America Radio.
Can I do? Walking by myself, I hope you understand. I just want to be your lover man.
Jimmy Rogers on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now.
Can I do walking by myself? I hope you understand. I just want to be your loving man.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio, and our guest this week is Charlie Musselwhite. I don't guess there's anybody that does what we do for a living that wasn't, you know, didn't know somebody that lives in New Orleans that is trying to figure out how the rest of their lives are going to go right now. Some people going back, some people relocating permanently.
Oh, yeah, what a mess. And, didn't have to be that way.
No, it didn't. It didn't. People, how long? I've heard people talking about those levees for as long as I've been alive, you know, kind of growing up in that general part of the country. And New Orleans used to be kind of my place. I would go, in the 80s, I figured out that they raised the speed limit on the Natchez Trace Parkway at 55 miles an hour, and I figured I could get on my motorcycle in Nashville and ride, you know, be in Memphis, I mean, you know, go. I mean, be in New Orleans in a day, you know.
Yeah.
And it started out, I'd go, you know, I'd ride down to Natchez, and I'd go fishing with Hartley Peavy and talk him out of some free gear, and then I'd go to New Orleans for a day. That was the usual itinerary. And but it's just, you know, I've got friends now that have moved away permanently. They're not ever going to go back. I had one friend's a painter that he's living in the upstairs of his house now, and you know, repairing the damage in the lower story because it was underwater for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a new record coming out, and this is a. It crept into your record, crept into your music.
Well, it crept into my head, and
yeah.
It became a song called Black Water, which is about the flooding in New Orleans and
other stuff, and a bigger picture, too,
yeah.
I think, you know, about how we take care of our own or don't.
Yeah, or how maybe the administration or whoever is in charge likes to demonize the poor and
right.
It's their fault, and you know, that's one of the things, you know, it's just like all turned around and people get.
That was the most amazing thing about it. There literally were people. I heard someone, I was, and this is like, you know, rich lefty talking here, you know, but I was literally in, you know, giving myself away, I was in Nobu, you know, with a really, really fancy restaurant here in New York. And there was a woman, you know, this is the week after the levees broke. And, you know, when we were just starting to fully realize what was going on, there was a woman, it was a line to get into the ladies' room. And I was trying to get into the men's room. And she said, well, you know, those people were told that, you know, they were told to leave and they just didn't go. And, you know, how many people there are in New Orleans or any city that don't have a car, don't have any way to go anywhere?
Yeah, or not even car fare to get out of town.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, I think about, you know, freedom for me is about freedom of movement. You know, for me, more than anything else, just the idea that I can pick up and I can go.
People that haven't been there cannot, they don't have a conception of what it's like to be like that, and they can't. In their mind, they can't see, well, why didn't they just leave? Well, it's just not that simple.
Yeah, and it's getting more complicated all the time. Well, let's listen. This is from your new record, which is called
Delta Hardware.
Called Delta Hard. This is Charlie Musselwhite on Air America Radio.
Black water, far as I can see. Oh, black water is closing in on me. Use it, black water, in a poor man's shoe. Poor people paying rich folks lose. Black water is the sign of our time. All down here. Oh, black water, our world is filled with fear. Just a sample of what's to come. The world sees the wrong that's done. Black water is the sign of our time. Thank you. like water lapping at your door. Hello, America, I better get ready for more. Trouble, trouble, all round here. Just too tired to shed one tear. Black water, it's the sign of our time.
Charlie Musselwhite on Air America Radio, Blackwater. Charlie Musselwhite is our guest this week. And why Delta Hardware? Why'd you call this record Delta Hardware?
Well, I happened to own this old brick building in Clarksdale, Mississippi, that was the old Delta Hardware building. And when we were trying to think of the name of the album, my daughter Layla said, call it Delta Hardware. So we did.
There you go. It's an investment. Well, this has been a guest. This is a really, really good record, and it comes out, like, what, May 16th?
May 16th.
May 16th, and so it is upon us. And there's a lot of really good blues and a lot of music that's about something, which we're all for on both accounts around here.
And I
guess you're out playing and...
I'm doing some serious to-ing and fro-ing all over the place.
Yeah, that's
I'll be here in New York soon.
Yeah, yeah. Sometime in the near future.
I'll be everywhere soon.
Yeah, me too. It's been a gas, and you stumped me on about three. I mean, there's three tracks that I have never heard before, and that doesn't happen to me very often around here. It's been a pleasure. This is Steve Earle. Our guest this week's been Charlie Musselwhite, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Good night.